Right now, farmers get about 14% or less of the food dollar. So if you buy more naturally occurring food, like natural as in that's the way nature made it, and you're just buying what nature has ready, and if you buy it locally, especially something that you're buying directly from the producer, that will help increase the economic vitality, will help ensure that our farmland stays in farms rather than being paved over to be a parking lot for some store. That will help increase our food security and will be more sustainable in the long run.
Sustainability is often associated with saving the planet by using less energy and reducing our overall carbon footprint. But how difficult is it to live more sustainably? A new publication from K-State Research and Extension offers dozens of ways to have a tasty, healthful, and sustainable diet. On today's Sound Living, using your food and food-related purchases to reinforce what you value. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. In the first of a two-part series on sustainable diets, K-State Research and Extension Human Nutrition Specialist, registered dietitian, and author of the publication Making Everyday Choices for a Healthy Sustainable Diet, Mary McHiggins looks at some of the effects our food-related practices can have on environmental resources. Mary, when we talk about a sustainable diet, what do we mean by that? What really is a sustainable diet?
Well, there are lots of definitions for sustainable, but the most common one that I'm familiar with is that it meets our present needs without compromising the ability to meet the future generations' needs. So that's what we mean when we're talking about sustainability. And our food choices affect our health. We're pretty familiar with that concept. But also, they affect the environmental resources. So our food-related choices and our food-related practices have a big impact on both environmental health and personal health and the health of our children and their children and so on.
Kind of paying it forward, in a sense.
In a way, yes, exactly. And we can use our choices to vote, so to speak, for what we value. So if we value health, then we can use appropriate food choices, make those choices and use the practices that will sustain our own health as well as environmental health.
So this is something that we can do on an individual basis. Exactly how do we go about that?
Well, a lot of times people get stymied. It's like, it's such a big problem. What can I do? I'm just one person. But many small changes over time can really make a big difference. And if you think about your health, that's really the only way you can make a change, one step at a time. No matter whether it's trying to eat better or get more physical activity, you just do it one small change at a time. And those small changes end up making a big difference, not only, as I mentioned, for our own health, but also for our planet's health.
So what kind of changes are we talking about?
It could include choosing more nutrient-rich food. That would be a pretty obvious one to think about if we're thinking about our own health. But that also affects our environmental resources. And then eating more locally produced food when those are available. Buying from businesses that have sustainable practices. Minimizing avoidable food loss or food waste. Improving our energy use and avoiding excess water use. Minimizing packaging and wrapper waste. So those are some of the things we can do, and they will not only help with the health, as I mentioned, but they can also save money. They can improve the well-being of the local community, so the vitality with which we have the capacity to produce food so that we reduce our food insecurity. There's just so many ramifications of this, and it's pretty exciting because everybody can do something.
You mentioned nutrient-rich foods. Maybe some examples of what that would be?
Mostly we're talking about basing our meals on whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, especially the dark green and the orange or red vegetables. And that can help save natural resources.
So this really kind of falls in line then with the MyPlate?
It does. If you think about the average person in the United States getting 1/3 of their calories from refined wheat and refined corn. That's amazing. Those numbers are just outstanding. And so whole grains, fruits, legumes, dark green, dark red, dark orange vegetables, that's double the amount that we currently eat if you look at what my plate is recommending. And then another food group that's double what we're currently eating or drinking are the low-fat dairy products. So with those foods, we can really make a change in our health. If we go with the dairy food, we should go with low-fat dairy food because, for instance, cheese, full-fat cheese, is the single food source that contributes the most saturated fat, and saturated fats are not healthy for our hearts. And so if we replace some of the animal-based dairy food, that would be another choice for which dairy food to have, with a plant-based dairy, let's say soy milk would be an example, or rice milk, or there's lots of non-animal-based dairy food, that will still give you the right amount of nutrients. Calcium is one, protein is another, but it will help reduce the environmental footprint that you have. In other words, the amount of carbon that goes into making those foods is lower. And then another aspect of nutrient rich is not just what to eat, but what not to eat. And certainly we hear a lot about that, reducing our solid fat, reducing the added sugar. And foods with those are currently twice the amount that we should be having. So we should have that. So if we double those fruits and vegetables and whole grains and dairy products and have the added sugar and the solid fat, that would be a better balance, more nutrient rich. It would also help the environment because those foods with low nutrients are using a lot of resources, natural resources. So it would be more healthful for the environment and for people if we could reduce those compared to those minimally processed fruits and vegetables and whole grains.
That's where the sustainability really comes in, isn't it? Is moving away from the more prepackaged and processed foods to the more natural or organic foods?
It's not just quite that simple. For instance, palm oil, you might think, well, that's an oil. You just get it from a palm, and so it's not well processed. But palm oil is very high in unhealthy solid fat, or the saturated fat, and it's also linked with global deforestation. So it's not really just as straightforward as we might think. So mostly if we just, instead of thinking about like buzzwords, so to speak, if we just look at what's a natural food that in the sense of it's not got a label on the package that says natural, if it's got a package at all, that probably means it's not quite as natural as what we want. So you could go to the store and buy bulk food, for instance, and just buy rolled oats, you know, out of a bulk bin. That's about as natural as you can get. Or an apple or a pear or a carrot or something like that. Just buy it just the way it comes out of the ground. And if you're buying it at the store, try to avoid all the boxes and the packages, the plastic bags and whatever, and just get the food itself. That would be the best way to help preserve your health and also help preserve our natural resources.
Another part of that MyPlate initiative deals with proteins. Where do they fit into this?
Well, protein foods are naturally a nutrient-rich food. They have lots of nutrients, vitamins, minerals, protein, etc. If we keep them lean, then they're not going to have that solid fat, so that would be a good deal. If we think about what kinds of food from the protein we should have. Right now, fish is only half as much in the U.S. diet as what's recommended. So we recommend having 8 ounces. That would be after you cook it without any bones, just the seafood itself. And then another idea would be to have more of the legumes. So the cooked dry beans and nuts and seeds. Right now, we're not having enough of those compared to what's recommended. But red meat is too much. Right now, we're having about 25% more than what the U.S. dietary guidelines recommend from those lean red meat. That would be beef and pork, processed meats. What's recommended is that we eat 12 ounces a week of those red meats. One of the reasons for talking about protein food and the red meat as the sustainable diet is because about half of the greenhouse gases that are created from raising food come from animal food, either the milk or the meat. And those foods represent just 20% of our current diet, our calories. So 50% of the greenhouse gases, 20% of the calories. So there's an imbalance there. So if we switch more to a plant-based protein, we'll help even that out, and we'll also maintain our good health by reducing the saturated or solid fat.
What about people who say, yeah, but it costs more to do this to be sustainable? What's the counter to that?
Well, my counter to that is you really haven't done much homework. When you go to the grocery store, if you're not buying all those excess foods that are not nutrient rich, I mean, who has time to go to the store and buy two different sets of groceries? So hardly anybody really goes to the store and does this little experiment. But if you looked online and you could find other people who have done this and publicized it, you get more food and feel more satisfied, and you're certainly getting a lot more nutrients if you buy the real foods, that's what I'm calling them, those unprocessed foods that your grandma would recognize as hey, that's food, as opposed to something that the companies advertise. I guess one way to think of it is if there's an ad for that food, chances are it's not as inexpensive or as wholesome as for foods that aren't ever advertised. Because when's the last time you saw an ad for a pear? I mean, they just don't advertise most of those whole grains and fresh fruits and vegetables like they do the other food. And there's a reason, because they're not as profitable and there's not as much processing. So companies aren't making as much money. Right now, farmers get about 14% or less of the food dollar. So if you buy more naturally occurring food, like natural as in that's the way nature made it, and you're just buying what nature has ready, and if you buy it locally, especially something that you're buying directly from the producer, that will help increase the economic vitality, will help ensure that our farmland stays in farms rather than being paved over to be a parking lot for some store. That will help increase our food security and will be more sustainable in the long run.
You keep those dollars turning over in the same community.
Yes, it's really important. It also helps increase our biodiversity within the community so that we have more animal habitat, better soil, improved air quality, better water quality. You know, there's just so many aspects. It's easy to say environment and not realize how many different aspects that involves. But it also has to do with helping your community be more resilient so that you can better able to grow. And instead of relying on food sources from other countries or from farther away from our local region, we can improve the capacity to grow food ourselves. And that will only be helpful if there's any kind of disaster, let's say even just a bad snowstorm, you know, that if you can go to some place or maybe even walk outside and get something out of your own garden, wouldn't that be amazing? And so then, again, we can just be more resilient and have better food capacity.
That's K-State Research and Extension Human Nutrition Specialist and Registered Dietitian Mary McHiggins, author of the publication Making Everyday Choices for a Healthy, Sustainable Diet. The publication is available through local extension offices and online by going to www.ksre.ksu.edu and searching for the publication by title, Making Everyday Choices for a Healthy, Sustainable Diet. We'll conclude our two-part series on sustainable diets next week as we look at what we can do as individuals to make changes. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.